This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
So here we're going to talk about worship. Someone say worship. We're going to talk about worship this morning and worshiping God, worshiping Jesus, and what that looks like, what that entails. And so, but here's what I know. A preacher cannot change your life, but God always will. And so my heart today is that you would not look to me, that you would look absolutely beyond me, that you would look to the Lord. That here's what I know, that when His presence begins to come in, that His presence can do things in you that medication can't do. His presence begins to do things in you that your marriage can't do. His presence does things in you that vacation can't do. His presence does things in you that no amount of money could ever do. And so here's the thing, that when we're in the presence of God, you know, I heard Damon say something. He said, I don't know exactly how it happens, but I do know that when we come into the presence of God, we are changed. And when we stop having expectation that when I come into the presence of God, God's presence is imparting things in me and doing things in me that is even above my consciousness, but it's also doing things in me that I'm conscious of. You ever been around someone? I was in the presence of God. I was in a meeting and I got out and I realized I was healed. Like, people just come into services like this and then they leave and they find out that whatever was going on in them, God took care of in His presence. Nobody prayed for them. Nobody laid hands on them. God just came in and took care of it. Hallelujah. And so here's what we need to realize, that when we come into the presence of God can and wants to do things in us, but we have to be open to Him. We have to be willing. We got to be willing to yield to Him, open ourselves to Him, take ourselves out of the mindset that I'm going to a church service, and put yourself in the mindset that I am going to encounter God for myself. Because when you truly encounter God, nobody can talk you out of it. And so I believe that there's people in here that you have two voices in your head. The voice that says, go after God with everything you have. Open your heart. Have faith that God's going to change your life, that God's presence is going to put things in you, that all of a sudden you don't have the same appetite you used to have. Come on, somebody. You don't have the same wrong appetites that you used to have. You don't have the appetite for destruction, and the flesh is all of a sudden just crucified, and now you're living the Spirit-filled life. I mean, it can happen in a moment. Sometimes it happens progressively, but other times it happens in a moment. But we need to be expecting an encounter with the presence of God. Somebody say amen. That's why we're here. And so God has been moving in this way. And so I want us to kind of I wanted that to be a springboard. I wanted to frame what God has been doing with some expectation that, hey, we're on the rise, church. I said celebration. God is doing some things and placing us on the rise. Hallelujah. And it's almost like as our worship increases, as our willingness to go after God increases, the watermark increases. The watermark of His presence, the watermark of miracles, the watermark of healing, the watermark of deliverance, the watermark of revival. When we begin to worship, all of a sudden fear begins to be pushed out. Doubt begins to be pushed out. And the presence of God begins to rise. And we begin to live a life that you and I were designed to live, a life full of and encountering His presence. Theology should be an invitation to encounter. You come to church and you hear the Word of God. You hear theology. What is theology? Theo means God, and ology means study of. Study of God. But my study of God shouldn't be dead knowledge. It should be an invitation for me to encounter what I just heard. Somebody say amen. And so I want us to get out of the mindset that I come to church and I hear information about God. But no. I come to church to encounter the God that I'm hearing about. Because He wants to be encountered more than you ever want to encounter Him. He just needs hearts that are hungry for Him. Hearts that say, you know what, no matter what it takes, I'm going to go after God. I'm going to worship God from my heart. And I am going to encounter a new measure of the glory of God. We were designed for His glory. You and I will never be satisfied with more money. You and I will never be satisfied with another house and another car and a better wife or a better husband. Come on, somebody. I know there's some of you in here praying for a husband or a wife, praying to get married. And then I know there's others of you that are praying for a divorce. Come on, somebody. No, just.
No, but it's not the new house. It's not the new car. It's not the more money. It's not more prestige. It's not more popularity. It's not more success. The only thing that is going to truly fulfill you and I, and we live a life where we are fully alive, is encountering the presence of God on a daily basis. We were designed for encounter, and we were designed to worship. Somebody say amen. So with that being said, we're going to get into this morning. John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, a very familiar passage of Scripture. It says that Jesus speaking, but the hour is coming and now. Someone say now. Yeah, now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Mm-hmm. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. The Father is seeking such to worship. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So God is not just looking for worship. God is looking for worshipers. Okay? And there is something about worship that gets the attention and captivates the heart of God. Thank you, baby. Appreciate it. So, and that's my sister, by the way. Like, oh, God, he called the praise and worship leader baby. Oh, no. She's my sister, y'all. It's all good. It's all good. Come on. I mean, hasn't there been a noticeable difference as far as the glory of God on the worship team? Man, it's been awesome. It's been awesome. And so worship is like the one thing that God can't give himself, right? So he owns the earth. He owns the money. Everything we can give God, he has, except worship. Because to worship God, or to worship, is an indication that there's something above you. So God cannot worship because there's nobody above him. I saw the Lord high and lifted up, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the house. Our God, there is nothing higher than our God. And so the only thing that you and I can truly give God is worship. And yet some of us withhold worship based upon how we feel. But I don't worship God based upon how I feel. I worship God based upon what he's worth. Woo. Worship is, really the word worship comes from worth-ship. He is worth all of my adoration, all of my worship, because of what he's already done. Because of who I praise God for what he's done, but I worship God for who he is. Who he is, holy, he is righteous, he is perfect, he is blameless, he is my savior, he is my redeemer, he is my healer, he is my deliverer, he is my restorer, and I worship him because he is worth it. Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. And he's not worth a cheap praise or a cheap worship. He is worth extravagance in worship. Extravagance is normal in the presence of God. And your response to that shows me you have no idea what I'm talking about. Right? The woman came into the presence of Jesus, and all the religious church people were sitting around him, not giving him what he was worthy of. But the woman who was a night walker, the woman who was a harlot, walked in and recognized he's worth a whole lot more than they're giving him. And I want to go to church with people who don't sit around and not give him what he's worthy of. I want to go to church with people walk in and go, hold up. He's worth a whole lot more than people are giving him. So if I got to shout, I'm going to shout. If I got to spin, I will spin. Whatever it is I need to do, I'm going to give my Jesus something extravagant. Hallelujah. You find out that in the presence of God, and if you want the presence of God to abide, you need to begin to offer him something extravagant. Something. Worship begins when you get uncomfortable. Worship begins when you step out of what you normally give him. Okay? You might normally give him a hand in the pocket, and every now and again a little tear like a gangster. I got a tattooed right there, homie. You know what I'm saying? Because that... Because that one time the Lord touched me and everything, you know what I mean? So I thought,
I don't know what you do. You got your hand. I'm just chilling, Pastor. I feel the presence of the Lord, man. It's awesome. It's awesome. Not because of you. You're experiencing the presence of God based on someone else's sacrifice. And what we need to realize is if we want more of the glory of God, we have to begin to step outside of what I'm used to giving God in my worship and give him something not that out of rote, not out of my mind, not because the words are on the wall, but something out of my heart. And if the Holy Spirit says, now why don't you spin before the Lord? You just begin to spin. If he says, why don't you jump before the Lord? You begin to jump. If he says, kneel before the Lord, you begin to kneel. I guess what we're saying is permission granted to give Jesus what he deserves. Extravagance becomes normal in the presence of the extravagant one. Come on, somebody. We have to begin to realize that we accept extravagance at football games. That's acceptable, right? That's acceptable. Passion is acceptable at the football game. But then you come into church and you act like he's not worth anything extravagant, but the Raiders are. And the Niners are, and the Cowboys, for God's sakes. Come on, somebody. There, it's okay. It's okay to be extravagant at the book. But we come in here, and I'm not saying it always has to be loud, but it can't always be quiet. I may not always be spinning, but I got to give him always something extravagant, something expensive from my heart, something my flesh doesn't feel comfortable giving him. And so this then begins to set the atmosphere for the extravagant one, hear me, to do extravagant things. I don't know if I have any help in here. You guys, I don't know about y'all. I want God to do extravagant things. Hallelujah. I want people in wheelchairs to come in here and all of a sudden they stand up in the middle of worship saying, I'm healed. Check this out. I can run. I can walk. I want blind eyes to open. I want families to be put back together. I want revival to break out in Salinas. And come on, does anybody know what I'm talking about? Give him a shout of praise in here. Hallelujah. Begin to give him something that he's worthy of, because if I want the extravagant one to do extravagant things, I got to be willing to give him something expensive. We want God to do expensive things in our lives. God, take the addiction away. God, heal my body. God, heal my marriage. God, thank you for forgiveness of sins. God, I got a problem. We want him to do expensive stuff, but then we offer him cheap worship. And we wonder why there's no... We're not seeing the expression of heaven show up in the earth like we could. We're seeing some things as a church. People are beginning to be healed. Miracles are beginning to happen. The presence of God is beginning to manifest. We're beginning to see some great things. We've seen God do amazing things. God did some things to get us in this building. Miracle after miracle. We've seen some things. But if we want to see it increase, we're going to have to begin to go to a new place in our worship. Do you realize that there are territories in the Bible were named after encounters with God? Territories in the Bible are named after encounters with God. What if our encounter with God began to rename our lives? What if our neighbors could begin to look at us and say, bro, you're different. Hey, sis, you're different. I don't know what's going on in you, but there's something different about you. And you can begin to tell them, my God, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. My God is alive and well, and I encountered him this morning, and he changed my life. If you believe it, give him some praise in here. Hallelujah. The question is not if you will worship. The question is, what are you worshiping? Because all of us are worshiping something. We were made to worship. So we all, by nature, worship something. Worship means to adore, to bow down to give way to give honor to give value to. And if you're not worshiping God, you're going to give those things to something or someone else in your life. That's why the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom. Y'all ain't saying much.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So if I seek him first, if I worship him first, then the things get added to me. The new job, the new career, the new house, the blessing, the favor in my life. If I'm seeking him, my life is in order. But if I begin to seek other things before him, then my life turns to chaos. Some of us worship, some of us worship money, some of us worship career, some of us worship family, I heard somebody say, you know, listen, my family comes first, and then my God. I said, bro, I didn't say it, but I thought, woo, that's a problem, because you are now Lord of your life, and he is not. Family does not come before God. God first, and then your family will be blessed and have the presence of God upon it. You teach your family to prioritize. Jesus is first. My son Avon came to me this morning. He was a little upset. Daddy, I forgot my tithe. Upset that he couldn't put God first this morning. It's amazing when we get things in order, life just works. And when it's out of order, it's hard. So that's why we're talking this morning about worshiping God. Now this is important. If you're taking notes, write this down. We always become like what we worship. We always become like what we worship. So if you are with that guy and you put him in a position that he does not deserve to have in your life, you will start becoming more like him than you are becoming more like Jesus. Same thing with the woman. Relationships are not to have a place in our lives above our relationship with Jesus. Somebody ought to... This is part of worship, okay? You either worship your relationship first or you worship God first. Well, he didn't really want to come to church. I don't care. I worship God first. She really didn't want to come to church. She was tired. I don't care. I put God first. And if you're not doing that, you're putting your relationship first, and your relationship is Lord of your life, and that'll lead to all kinds of trouble. The question is not if you worship. The question is, what are you worshiping? We always become like what we worship. So if you worship money, if you worship titles, if you worship prestige, if you worship these things, you become more like that, the evil root of those things. But if I worship God, we have no greater need than to become more like him. And when I worship him, I begin to be transformed into his image. Somebody say amen. Now listen to this. If you're taking notes, write this down. Worship is the gateway to intimacy with God. Worship is the gateway to intimacy with God. Intimacy breeds confidence. Because I'm intimate with my wife, intimacy is simply the exchange of information. When I'm intimate with my wife, it's not just the physical part. That's a part of it, obviously, in a marriage. But it's also the exchange of information that nobody else gets the privilege and access to have. So therefore, because I have information about her, because I'm close to her, because I know her character, I know what she's going to do before she even does it. So intimacy breeds confidence. I am confident that if she gets put in a situation where dudes are trying to spit game at her, y'all ain't saying much, but. Because when you that hot, you get attention. You know what I'm saying? But I'm confident that because of who she is and who God's made her, the many times she's come home and said, this happened today, that happened today, the other happened today, I'm like, I'm glad I'm anointed. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. No, but really, I'm glad about, and I know the character that is in her because I know her. Therefore, I have confidence that when she gets put in those situations, it won't even be a stumbling block for her. Because there's intimacy there, and intimacy breeds confidence. When I have intimacy with God, it breeds confidence in my God. I know my God will come through. I know him. I spend time with him each and every day. I know his character. I know he's true to his word. Did he say it? Will he not do it? Hallelujah. If God be for me, who can be against me? Hallelujah. He fights my battles for me. He makes my feet like hind's feet, causes me to walk on high places. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. No weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper, and every tongue that rises, I will condemn. Why? Because I know him.
Worship breeds intimacy, and intimacy breeds confidence. Hear me, it breeds trust. Hallelujah. It breeds a closeness. Intimacy breeds fondness. I'm so fond of my wife. I secretly watch her when she walks into our room. And when she looks at me, I look down like I'm reading the Bible or something, you know. Come on, somebody. All you with the hot wife, say amen. Come on, somebody. I'm like, look at my good thing walking up in here. Hallelujah. God must have spent a little extra time on you. Anyway, I revert back to the 80s sometimes. You know what I'm saying? That girl is... No, I'm just playing. All right, here we go. I got a laugh from the back there. Hiding like a little mouse back there. No, right? But it breeds a closeness. It breeds a fondness. Because I'm intimate with my wife, there's this fondness that I have of her that I have of no other woman on the planet. There's a fondness. There's a closeness. There is a delight in her. Because I've been intimate with her. Marriage is not a duty when there's true intimacy. It becomes a pleasure. And our relationship with Jesus will no longer be a duty. It'll be a pleasure because my worship is now breeding intimacy between me and him. There's a closeness, there's a nearness, there's a fondness of God. So I don't just have to go read my Bible. When I begin to think of him, there's a fondness that will lead me to my room or lead me to the living room so I can encounter him again. Whew. Somebody say amen. Whew. The devil understands how significant worship is. He used to be the lead worshiper in heaven. He had instruments built into his body. And the Bible says he got prideful and God cast him out of heaven. But he understands the significance of worship. The atmosphere of heaven is filled with worship and obviously the presence, the manifest glory of God. He understands how significant this is. So much so that when he was here on earth, he tempted Jesus and said, I'll give you all the earth, because Adam had sold the earth lease. Over to Satan. When Satan tempted him in the garden and Adam and Eve partook of it, they gave the lease of the earth because God had given dominion over the earth to man. Is this all right? Adam and Eve had dominion over the earth, and then they sinned, and Adam gave that right of dominion over to Satan. All right? So the Bible says that he is the God of this world. That's why the Bible says we are in this world, but not of this world, because he's not my God. Come on, somebody. And then the second Adam came and redeemed what the first Adam messed up. Come on, somebody. The second Adam is Jesus, and Jesus got on the cross, died for you and me, became our substitute. 3 days later, rose from the dead, went down into hell. Hallelujah. Defeated the devil and all of his forces. The Bible says he paralyzed them. Hallelujah. We got a picture of the devil and his forces in a wheelchair. Hallelujah. They are paralyzed. We've been given authority over them. And this is part of why I worship the King. Hallelujah. So this is part of this worship that we must understand, that when we worship, it begins to change us from the inside out. But the devil tried to get Jesus to worship him, and because the devil knew if Jesus bows down and worships me, that gives me authority over him. Notice the devil tried. Why did the devil try to get Jesus to bow down and worship? Someone say worship. Because he knows there is power. There is power and authority. God in heaven. What you worship, you give power and authority over your life to. This is why when you come into church, the devil try to mess with you on the way here, you'll be half mad, half offended, upset with your wife or kids. You know, why didn't God do this? Why didn't God do that? You woke up in a good mood. By the time you get to church, you're jacked up. Come on, somebody. Am I telling the truth or am I not telling the truth? Why? Because the devil knows if they get to church and they begin to lift up a voice of worship unto their God,
There is going to be a releasement. There is going to be miracles that begin to happen in the atmosphere. Healings are about to take place. Deliverance are about to take place. Prosperity is about to show up in their life. Don't, whatever you do, demons, don't let them worship. But as for me and my house, we will worship the Lord. Come on, if it's in your heart, give him 5 seconds of worship in here. Hallelujah! I said hallelujah! What if the level of our worship determined the level of our breakthrough? Huh? What if the level of our worship determined the level of the releasement of the presence and the power of God upon our life? Hee-haw. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek worship him. Here's what I know. God in heaven, and thank you, Lord. Some of you about to see this for the first time in your life. Look up at me. Worship service is not about songs. Worship service is about you getting into the presence of the one who can do anything in a moment. Ah! Am I talking to anybody in here who says, I don't know, Pastor, how it happened. I don't know exactly when it happened. But all I know is that when I got into the presence of God, God shifted something down on the inside of me, and he changed my life forever. You missed an excellent opportunity to lose your flipping mind. Because the last time I checked, you wouldn't be here if it had not been for the Lord that was on your side. Is there anybody in here who says, I can break my box for a moment? Because if it had not been for the Lord that was on my side, where would I be? Somebody give him a shout of praise. Hey, I'm going to worship him because I can think. I'm going to worship him because I got breath in my lungs. I'm going to worship him because every good thing has come from him. I'm going to worship him because he's worthy, because he's holy. I'm about to break my box up. Broken boxes lead to broken bondages. I'm gone. Get through the first freaking 3 lines. He said freaking sure did. Deal with it. Put it in your pipe. Roll a big old fat blunt and smoke that in Jesus' name. A blunt full of Jesus. All right. I heard all the religious emails. I don't think you should say blunt in service. I wish you would smoke a blunt, but not a blunt of the substance that you used to smoke, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I wish somebody in here would say, I'm tired of being bored with my Jesus. I'm about to roll a big old fat doobie and take a big old hit of his presence. Hallelujah. Yeah. Crazy to me, man. Some of you used to be the funnest people in the world to go to a party with, and you boring to come to church with. God wants you to know that his house should not be boring. There should, you know how they used to say, oh, it's about to pop off up in here. About to pop off, right? Why don't you pop up and it'll pop off, right? Right? It's about to pop off up in here. What if you come into the presence of God and there is such a spirit of adoration and worship and glorifying the Lord and heartfelt worship unto the King, that things just start popping. Hallelujah. Miracles begin to pop, and hearts begin to pop open, and veins begin to be healed, and blood begins to be healed, because things are popping because he is in the room. Worship. Oh. Worship is the gateway to the never ending encounter. You know what's so awesome about being married to my wife? Is that if you don't like me, I get to go home and chill with this one. Right? We said, I do, and I do means forever. Huh? So this is a never-ending encounter. Come on, somebody. It's amazing. It's amazing. And we, as Christians, we should allow the teaching of God's word to be an invitation to a never-ending, ascending encounter of who God is and his presence. In his presence is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Remember what God said last week? Fullness will begin to be the solution to your emptiness. Y'all tired? Because I'm not. I felt like I just drank 8 Red Bulls right now. I feel like I got my finger stuck in an outlet somewhere, and there is power coming into me from a different dimension. Because I'm talking to a bunch of worshipers that said, I'm tired of not giving Jesus what he's worthy of. I'll spin if I need to spin. I'll shout if I need to shout. I need to give him something. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, I only got through like, hallelujah. Let me say this real quick. For some of you that are offended, it's okay. I sense his presence coming. Let's do it. Broken box worship will always offend religious people. It'll always offend religious people. Can't get away from it. And they'll try to they'll try to cloak it and well, you know, it's just not, it's not necessary. The shouting is not necessary. You know, because if you talk like this from like your English, it just sounds more dignified. Right? But Prince Harry taught us that just because you talk like this does not mean that you're dignified. I'm just playing. I don't even know who Prince Harry is. I know it's one of the boys. That's all I know. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord for that, for them. But here's what I'm saying. Right? Right? That the presence of God is coming here, coming in here. And extravagance or expensive worship. Expensive, extravagant worship always offends the religious spirit. And look up at me. The reason we're talking about it is because some of us, there's part of us who wants to worship God with everything we have. But then there's another part of us that the devil's been trying to work on that has put religious mindsets in your mind, and you find yourself judging instead of entering in. So church people were surrounding Jesus in the house, right? They're surrounding him, not giving him what he's worth. But a harlot walks in and begins to break her box and begins to wipe and wash his feet with her tears and anoint his feet with costly, expensive worship. While all the church people were in the same atmosphere, they were in the same presence of Jesus and chose to give him nothing. The reason why we're talking about this is because I believe God is tired of us gathering and not giving him what he's worthy of. Now look at me. Worship begins where you get uncomfortable. Worship is always, okay, let me say this way. Worship is always one step beyond what is convenient. Man, my God. Worship is always one step beyond what is convenient to you and your flesh. When you take one step beyond what is comfortable in each worship service, you come in with the mind, okay, if my flesh don't want to raise my hands today, I'm going to raise my hands. If my flesh doesn't want to shout unto God with the voice of triumph, I'm going to shout unto God with the voice of triumph. If God starts moving in this way, you don't know what might happen. I might start spinning around. Hallelujah. Last service, God says, when you start spinning in my presence, I'll start turning. I will turn your mourning into dancing. I will turn situations around. Some of you need expensive things from God. You need to begin to give God a more expensive kind of worship. There's power. Things shift when you worship. Okay? I know I'm going over time, but praise the Lord. I'm all right. We in OT. The best stuff happens in OT sometimes. Come on, somebody. All right. So, okay. So, David was a worshiper. They're bringing the presence of God. The presence of God was in the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament signifies, and not just signifies, it was the manifest glory, the Shekinah glory of God. So whenever the presence of God was with the people of God, they won battles. Whenever the presence of God was with the people of God, they prospered. They had lost the battle. The presence of God went to an enemy camp. David and the army went and regained the presence of God. They're bringing the presence of God back. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 6. They're bringing the Ark of the Covenant. They're bringing the presence of God back to Jerusalem. Now hear me. They're bringing the presence of God back to Jerusalem, right? And here's what happened. Here's what happened. Every six paces, they had to stop and they sacrificed animals, killed animals as a sweet offering to the Lord. And here's what the Lord told me, and I've heard this, and it just always sticks with me. If you want a greater glory to come into your life, every so often you got to crucify the flesh. And that's why some of you are here. You are here to learn that just because my flesh, your flesh will never want to worship God. Your flesh will never want to jump before the Lord and dance before the Lord. Your flesh will never want to spin around wildly before the Lord. But the Bible calls it worship. Psalm 16, the word worship means to spin about before the Lord. Right? In all through the Psalms, it talks about kneeling before God, jumping and dancing before the Lord. So extravagance is normal in the presence of the extravagant one. So every so often they had to crucify, kill flesh so that the presence of God could come dwell with them. If I want the presence of God to dwell with me, the manifest glory of God, the favor of God, the blessing of God, the anointing of God, the miracles of God, the power, if I want it in my life to dwell with me, I got to start crucifying some flesh. The flesh is the part of you that doesn't want to read your Bible. The flesh is the part of you that doesn't want to worship, doesn't want to pray, wants to watch this, doesn't want to, you know, pursue God. You got to begin to crucify some of those things, and you're going to begin to walk into a greater glory. Somebody say amen. Amen. Last thing I'm going to say. Whew. Hallelujah. So they brought him. They brought the presence of God back. But here's what the Bible says. They put it on a cart. But God told them to carry the Ark of the Covenant on the shoulders of men. But they put it on a cart because they wanted to make it convenient. God said, no, if you want my glory, you're going to have to pay the price to carry it yourself. You can't make my presence. You can't make worship convenient. Don't put it on the cart. Because the Bible says that the cart, the oxen stumbled, and Uzzah tried to stabilize the presence of God. And when he touched the Ark of the Covenant, he died. Here's what God said to me. He says, because when you begin to journey with me into my presence, I'll kill the parts of you that still want to put your hands on my glory. You want the new business? You want the financial success? You want the breakthrough? You want the presence and the favor of God upon your life? Come into my presence, God says, and let me take out of you the parts of you that still wants to take credit for what I'm doing in your life. And then the last thing that I want to say is when David, oh Jesus, David, is this all right? David was coming back, and the Bible says David was the king, y'all. David was the man. David was the most wealthy man. He was the king. He had the most dignity. He had the most prestige. He had the highest position. But David was a worshiper. You know why David was the king? Because before he was a king, he was a worshiper. Many of us want to be kings. Many of us want to hashtag grind. Many of us want to hashtag all I do is win, 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 no matter what. But you can't be a king unless you first become a worshiper. So David's there, but he knew how big of a deal it was. I just heard the Lord say, get ready, celebration. If your worship will rise up, my glory is about to hit this place like we've never seen. In the days, in the weeks, in the months, and in the years to come, get ready. God is setting us up for a great outpouring of the glory and the power of God. Hallelujah. And so David was there, and David knew how important it was to have the glory of God. David knew how important, because when I don't have the glory, we lose battles. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle. I'm going to fight it in the glory of God, because when I fight it in the glory of God, we win the battles. Hallelujah. You can't win that thing without the presence of God. You can't overcome that thing without the presence of God. And you can't have the presence of God unless you first become a worshiper. The devil is nervous that you become worshipers. I heard the Lord say in the first service that some of you, life has tried to silence, and the enemy's attacks have tried to silence the voice of the worshiper on the inside of you. But if you'll let him, God wants to reintroduce you to the voice of the worshiper on the inside of you. Whew. Do it, Lord. Someone say, do it, Lord. Whew. So David began to whirl. And check this out, y'all. He took off his kingly garment. I'm going to take off dignity when the presence of God comes. Some of you won't spin. Some of you won't dance. Some of you won't shout. Some of you won't fall on the floor because I'm too dignified. But David says, I'm more dignified than you. I'm richer than you. I'm better looking than you. And let me show you how to do it. Take off that garment of dignity. Because when the king comes in, he's worth your extravagance. He took off the garment of dignity. He took off the other garment of position that says, I am the king. And he took it off. And the Bible says that he began to dance in his linen, the undergarments. This was absolutely dishonorable. This was absolutely humiliating. But he says, I want to make sure everybody knows, I didn't get here because of you. Oh! I didn't get the kingship because of you, or because you liked me, or because you thought I was cool. I got the kingship when I was worshiping God in the back of the desert when nobody could see me. So I'm not here to please you. I'm here to please him. And here's what happened. He began to worship. The Bible says he was twirling before the Lord. And then the Bible says his wife Michal, Saul's daughter. I think it's amazing. I think it's amazing, Andrew, that the Bible called her Saul's daughter and not David's wife. Because she was not operating in the spirit of her husband. She was operating in the spirit of her religious father. And I hear the Lord say, let me divorce you from the wrong kind of spirit. Woo! I hear the Lord say, if you'll let me, I'll divorce you from that religious spirit that tries to hinder your worship and therefore keep you bound. God says, if you can learn how to get free in worship, I'll set you free in life. I keep saying this is the last thing, so I don't know if it is, but here we go. Right, so David is dancing and whirling before the Lord. He's worshiping. I think it's amazing that David was the greatest warrior of his generation, but he was also the greatest worshiper.
Good. Good.
I have found out that no matter how much weight I can press or how fast I can run, I'm weak when I'm no longer a worshiper. Stuff that really matters, that's where your strength comes from. So David's whirling before the Lord, and the Bible says that Saul's daughter, David's wife, Michal, saw him from the palace, and she's operating in her daddy's religious spirit, and the Bible says she despised his extravagant worship. Religious people always get upset when you begin to give extravagant worship because they know they're not willing to give the same thing. And check it out, because she despised his extravagant worship, hear me, the Bible says she was barren until the day of her death. Here's what God's trying to tell you. If you despise extravagant worship, you won't be able to birth that which heaven wants to bring about in your life. How many of you sense the presence of the Lord in here right now? Okay, listen. The presence of God, when we come into the presence of God, we need to come with something. You don't come hoping that the band can lead you to his presence. You come with a worship offering yourself. And as we all begin to offer our worship to the Lord, all of a sudden the watermark begins to rise. The watermark of his presence begins to rise, and all of a sudden the glory of God begins to fill the place. People begin to be set free. People that were depressed, tears of joy begin to come, because when he comes into the room, everything begins to shift. Amen. Hallelujah. So I believe I hear the Lord say, the answer, God in heaven, the answer to what you have been needing is going to be birthed in his presence. His presence is where heaven impregnates. Heaven impregnates. Whether you're men or women, you have a spirit. And out of your spirit flow the issues of life. Is anyone getting anything out of this? I don't know what you've needed. If it's deliverance, if it's healing, if it's provision, financial provision, you need it. Whatever it may be, emotional stability. You feel like at times you're losing your sensibility. You're losing your mind, so to speak, because of the issues, the attack of the enemy upon your life, or just some of the bad decisions that you've made. I don't know what you have need of, but I believe I've heard the Lord say that your answer will be, you'll be impregnated with your answer when you begin to worship the Lord. And then as you begin to walk in an attitude of worship, you'll give birth to the answer. Are you hearing me? This is too valuable for you to treat common. Come on, are you hearing what I'm saying? Some of you may not know it, but God is releasing the answer. Lift your hands to him right now. Come on, things can be put in you from the presence of God. Strength, healing, breakthrough, new mindsets, a new perspective on life. Victory, joy, peace, financial increase. Right now, in his presence, he begins to deposit things in you that will affect your life. If you can do it, if you can win it in worship, you'll begin to win it in life. Come on, keep your hands lifted to him. And don't worship him for the thing. Just worship him for who he is. You begin to worship. You begin to worship. You begin to let adoration and worship begin to come out of your mouth right now. You are holy. You are holy. You are mighty. There's nobody like you. Oh, right now. That's it. That's it. Out of your own mouth. Out of your own mouth. Just let worship begin to come forth. You are beautiful. There is none that compare to you. There is none that compare to you. Holy. Holy. Holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. You are worthy.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.